One of our distinctives is that we've got eternal security. And we're saved by grace, and we're saved, we're sealed until the day of redemption. And the day of redemption is when Christ takes us up and gives us brand new bodies. That's what redemption is. Please turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. We'll read verses 1 through 12. Glad you're here. I'm going to give you a message and a thought today about what wise men do. What wise men do. Dan, good to see your family today. It's good to see them. Hey, the kids are here. That's good. I love seeing the kids, don't you? And I'll tell you, God's good, isn't he? Let's stand for the reading of God's word. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 through 12. Matthew 2, 1. How many have got it? Okay. If you look at verse 1 in Matthew chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and I showed you last week, the prophet Micah foretold that over 700 years before Christ was born, Micah 5:2 said he would be born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod king. Behold, there came wise men. Now let me say this to you. The world says there's three of them. The Bible don't say how many there was. And I doubt very much there was three. I think there might have been several, you know. And and their caravan had to be huge, you know. But we just know that these wise men came from the east to Jerusalem saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? He's more than King of the Jews. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. And the Bible says every knee is going to bow before him and proclaim him as Lord. For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And you know where they found the answer? The Bible. Amen. The scriptures. They went to the scriptures to find the answers. You want to find the answers to life? Get in this King James Bible, the scriptures. Notice, and when they gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it's written by the prophet. And it was Micah 5:2. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not thou the least among the princes of Judah? For out of these shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently, what time the star appeared? And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go. And by the way, Bethlehem's only about 5 miles south of Jerusalem. Southeast, I think. Just a little bit southeast of Jerusalem. And everything's south of Jerusalem, though. When you go to Jerusalem, every time you go to Jerusalem, I don't care if you're above it, you're still going up to Jerusalem. Because going to Jerusalem, God's city, it's going up. The city of God. Well, notice, but Bethlehem really is south on the map, okay? And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. He liars. He didn't want to worship. He wanted to kill him. And when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star, when they saw in the east, went before him till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced. This was a special star. This is something different. I believe this was a special star that God put himself. I really believe. I don't believe it's one of these that used. It was something different. It was a star, but it was special, just for Christ's birth. And when they were come in the house, they were come in the house. They were come in the house. They weren't in the manger. I'm going to show you. See, Jesus was born when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but when the wise men came, he had already been born. He was almost 2 years old. But notice when they came in the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Wonder what we brought to him today. Wonder what we'll bring to him this year. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they depart into their own country another way. Did you ever notice, Brother Mark? Every time someone comes to Christ, their life always they always go another direction. Amen. See, Kenny, you're going another way now since you came to Christ. They went back another way. Preacher got saved off of Galena Street. My life, I went back another way. Amen. Amen? It seems like God, when he comes in your heart, he'll change your life, and you won't go the same direction that you used to go. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you for this great story about the wise men. I really don't know how many there was, but I know the men that came were wise because they sought Christ. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll bless today. I know this is what you want me to preach. Believe with all my heart. And I pray I can be a blessing to all the hearers today. Lord, Holy Spirit of God, I pray you'll go out up and down each pew. And I pray that you'll move in everyone's heart. Pray that something we'd say would last forever in their lives. That they would never let it leave their mind. That it would be deep down in their conscience and their soul. And that truth would always encourage their life about Christ. Lord, help me now to do well for you today. That I can be a blessing to our people. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Said there in Matthew 2, 1 and 2, that wise men came from the east, and they sought Jesus, you know, long ago. Over 2,000 years ago, wise men came. And these wise men came long ago, and they're still saying today, that wise men still seek Jesus today. You know, those that seek Christ are wise, aren't they? These wise men who sought out Jesus can teach us a truth that we could need to know today. Brother Bobby, as I read this and studied it, I saw a few little truths in there that I learned from those wise men that Brother Micah could help my life, could you help your life, and all the folks here. And I'm going to share three little thoughts with you today about those wise men. Let's look at the scriptures now and see what those wise men do. That's the title of the message, John. What wise men do. How many want to be a wise man? And I'm going to give you three thoughts on how you can be wise for Christ. If you look at number one, wise men seek Jesus. Wise men seek Jesus. If you look at verse 1 and 2, Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod, king of... Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. How many see that? Saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? They came seeking Jesus. Wise men seek Jesus. Now listen to me. No one knows exactly where these wise men came. We've taken a study on it. We believe... the Bible definitely says they came from the east. When you study scriptures and you go in the book of Genesis chapter 2 and it talks about the Garden of Eden, the cradle of civilization. I even brought a map if I can. The cradle of civilization with Adam and Eve and Abraham and all those by the Persian Gulf. How many of you ever looked at and saw the Persian Gulf? And there's some views about that. By the way, no one knows exactly. Right. Some believe that the Garden of Eden was just a little bit above Kuwait. I've got some soldiers here, and I think both of you men, did you both men go to Kuwait? Well, some think that the Garden of Eden was close to the Kuwait. By the way, when you study in Abraham, Michael, when you study in Brother Katiber, the land of Ur of Chaldees, the land of Ur of Chaldees, where Abraham came out of, was very close to what we call Kuwait today. And then other people, because the Tigris River and the Euphrates come together, there's four rivers that they talked about in Genesis chapter 2, verse 10 through 14. The Tigris and Euphrates come together above Babylon, and so many think, Baghdad many believe that right above Baghdad, or right in that area, is where the Garden of Eden was. Are you with me? But nobody can be sure, but I'm of the persuasion that somewhere in Iraq or in that area, some people believe it was higher. Some people believe it's up in Turkey, Garden of Eden. Are you with me? Some people, not a whole lot, but some, I don't have nothing substantiated, but some people actually believe it was Jerusalem, which the river Gihon that they mentioned, they say there's an underground river that goes right into Jerusalem. And they think, and you say, well, then what about the Tigris and the Euphrates? That's why. But I can see around in this area here, I can see the Tigris and the Euphrates here. But now remember, and that's why I believe that the knowledge I have of what we have today, we believe that that's where the Adam and Eve started, and we believe that's about the area where the wise men came. They might even came as far as Iran, but they came east. Are you with me? And the only thing we don't know, Rod, and here's the thing, when they had the flood, when God flooded the whole world, remember, it wiped out a whole lot of things, including those four rivers. Now, I've studied those four rivers that they, I can lay it out in a map what we believe, and we believe it's all in that Persian Gulf area, okay? But who am I to say? I would never argue over whatever anyone wants to think. I would never say anything against it because we don't have no proof of what was back in Adam's day, because God wiped the whole... See, that was the whole earth was... It wasn't just one little spot. The whole world was flooded. Are you with me? And so... But by the way, they can tell by taking aerial shots from the satellites, they can tell where rivers used to be. Yes, they can. And so... But anyways, these wise men, no matter where they came from, we know they came from east. We think they came from... around the Persian Gulf area, and that's a long ways. And it's, if you look, it's east. It's east, direct east of Jerusalem. And you say, why would people say about Turkey? Why would people think? Because remember, the Ark landed on Mount Ararat. Are you with me? And that's in Turkey. So there's a lot of different things. Don't ever get worked up over it. Just be glad that that God did it for us. Amen. And so there's now eternal security of the believer. I'm going to argue that to the day I die. You know, I'm going to major on the majors and minor on the minors. Amen. But anyways, I want you to know, see, these wise men came from the east. We believe they're in Iraq, around the Persian Gulf area, maybe even farther. And I want you to notice something. They traveled many miles. Number one, wise men seek Jesus. Okay? Number one, these wise men that sought Jesus, they traveled many miles to seek out Jesus. And the question is for us today, as we think about Christ, how far would you go to find Jesus? They had a burning in their heart, Brother Bobby. Brother Eddie, they had a burning heart. I must see Jesus. I must seek him. I got to seek him. I got to find him. And you know what? How far would you go to find Jesus? How long would you continue to seek Jesus and search for him? Like if you couldn't find him right away, how long would you continue to search? See, I believe these wise men had a determination. They didn't care how long it took, no matter how far they had to go. Katie, they said, we're going to find Jesus. Are you with me? You know, their search would never end until they found Christ. No obstacles, no barriers, no delays would stop or hinder their search for the Savior. I'm amazed people, we give up pretty easy. These wise men, they made their search thorough, and it didn't matter how long it took. It didn't matter how far they had to go. They were going to find their Savior. You know, wise men have an attitude in their search for Jesus that nothing can or nothing will stop their search for their Savior. Wise men have an attitude, we will search until we find him. How many see that? Wise men have an attitude, we will search until we find him. By the way, wise men didn't find Jesus in the manger. He found him. They found him almost 2 years later. If you look at Matthew 2, verse 16, then Herod, when he had saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth, and that means he was really mad, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coast of there from 2 years old and under. So, Brother Brian, he wasn't a brand newborn baby. He was a year or more old. Otherwise, Herod wouldn't have killed the babies from two and under. Are you still with me? And so, what I want you to see is, these wise men, they said, we're going to find our Savior, we're going to find our Christ, we're going to search, we're going to seek him, I don't care how long it takes, I don't care how much it costs me, I don't care what I have to do, I'm going to keep seeking till I find him. Amen. And what I'm trying to say to you is this, that wise men will never give up their search to find the Savior. You're saying you never found the Savior. You need to get wise and find him today. Amen. By the way, how great is your search for God and the things of God? Do you search the Scriptures to find him? You know, the Bible says, draw nigh unto God, James 4:8. Draw nigh unto God, he'll draw nigh to you. Jesus said in John 5:39, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and the Bible, the Scriptures, they are they which testify of me. He said, this Bible, if you'll search it, they'll tell you about me. They'll teach you about me. They'll introduce me to you. Search, see, wise men, even today in 2008, search to find the Savior. He's no longer walking on the earth. You search the Scriptures. Now you find him in the Scriptures. Amen. I noted in Psalms 46:10, it says, be still and know God. Brother Kerry, the trouble with the average Christian today, they won't be still enough long enough to think about God. Sometimes I gotta get away from everybody and everything. And I tell Rose, I said, I just gotta get my mind to settle. And I just gotta think. And I gotta read. And I gotta meditate. Hello? Because I don't know about you, Lizzie, but there's so much crazy things going on in the world today. Our minds get battered up, beat up. How many are with me?
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something. We need to take some time every day out of our busy lives, out of our hectic schedules, and say, no, I'm going to search to find more about Christ today.
Amen.
I'm going to get to know my Savior a little bit more today. I don't care what I got to do. I don't care how long it's going to take. I don't care how far I got to go. I'm going to keep searching until I find more about him.
Amen?
Amen? And I rendered this question to give to you, and I'll go to the next one. Have you searched the Scriptures at all this week? Were you a wise man this week? Have you searched for the Savior? Have you searched the Scriptures at all? Have you got closer to God this week because you searched for him? People say, preacher, I feel so far from God. He hasn't left us that we haven't come close to him. God never leaves, Mandy. We leave him. I'm glad I'm not counting on me to save me, like Brother David was talking. I'm glad Christ never lets loose of me, even though I let loose of him. He never walks away from me, although I walk away from him. I'm going to tell you right now, wise men seek after Christ. This coming week and this coming year, you ought a determination. You're going to be a wise man. And you're going to seek to see and to know him better. Amen?
Yes.
Number two, not only do wise men seek him and never give up till they see him, but then number two, wise men make sure they see him. Wise men see Jesus, and when they see him, they embrace him as their Savior.
Amen.
I told the men in jail, Tuesday. What a tremendous week we had in the jail ministry. We had the highest attendance that we've ever had in the first month. The men's thing, no, I think Tommy said there was 53. I think that's what he told me. 53 men. They couldn't get any more in. And they were in every table and every chair, and then all the way around, all the way, you know how they got the chalkboard? It went from this corner all the way to that corner, and then plus all in the middle of tables and chairs. It was, and I think there was more that tried to get in while I was preaching, and I don't know if they got in or not. Maybe they stood in the hallway. I don't know. It was huge. We couldn't believe it. And what was exciting is that they weren't the same men that was a month ago. Because I asked, I said, how many knew me? They said, it was about 15. They said, we were here a month ago when you came, preacher. But that means there was around 40 of them that were brand new. So it's changing over. Then the ladies had, I think, 6. And then what was exciting, 2 days after you girls were in there, and we got the letter, a lady wrote and said, and it just went on and on how she thanked God that you ladies came in and talked to her about the Christmas card you gave her and how it helped her life I guess she called her a funny name and she said they'll know me by this and her name is Bobby. You're right. And so what a tremendous thing. And then by the way, we gave an invitation at the end, and I'm gonna tell you right now, it was like Mike. It was like the first service. It sounded like almost every man was asking Christ to save him. It's unreal. I'm walking out of Walmart. Was it Wednesday? I think Wednesday. I went over to Walmart to get something. I can't shake this thing with my eyes. I finally got some eye drops, the pink eye, and so it's better than a black eye. Amen. But I'm walking out of Walmart. I don't know if I told you this or not. And I'm walking out, and he's walking in, this man, this little boy, 2 years old, and he grabs me. He said, Pastor, preacher, thank you. My life's been changed. Amen. And I said, amen. And I said, who are you? He said, you preached in the jail. I was in the front row. He said, my life has been changed. I said, you've trusted Christ? He said, yes, sir, I've trusted Christ. Matter of fact, he might be here tonight. I gave him an invitation to come to our cantata. Man, it's exciting. But I told those men in jail last Tuesday, I said, everybody around the world celebrating Christmas. I'm 59 years old, so I've celebrated for 59 years. If you count from the day I was born, because I didn't understand it all, but there was celebrations going on since I've been born. And I said this to those men. I think it really meant something to them. And I hope it means something to you. I said the whole world in just a few days is going to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. I mean, universally, all over the world, almost all people, not everybody, but the majority of people, or at least they might not celebrate, but they'll at least acknowledge or recognize that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was born. Yes. Amen. That history proclaims that there was a saint, that there was a man named Jesus born in Bethlehem, yep. The Christ. And I said, and all through America, people are going to celebrate Christmas. And I said, Christmas is not booze parties.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
And I said, Christmas isn't shopping malls.
That's
right. I said, Christmas is coming to the reality that God loves you and you and you. And I went down to each table. I said, He sent a son just for you. And I said, if you've never embraced Christ as your Savior, you've never had Christmas yet.
Amen.
Because Christ is Christmas.
Amen.
So I don't care how many Christmas parties you've went to. I don't care how many Christmas things you've ever done. I don't care how many trees. I don't care how many times you sang Jingle Bells. I don't care how many times you sang Silent Night, Joy of the World. If you have never embraced Christ as your Savior, you've never yet experienced Christmas.
Amen.
because Christ is Christmas. He's the essence of Christmas.
Amen.
And I said, you guys gotta get with it tonight and grab hold of Christ. You see, those wise men, they sought, they kept seeking Jesus. They would not give up. They kept seeking him. And then the moment they saw, then the second thing is, when they saw him, they embraced him.
Amen.
See, wise men will seek Christ. And then wise men, when they see Christ, number two, will embrace him. I thought about this, preacher. How many times down through the country, down through the years, has Christ, think about this, Bobby, teenagers, young people, old people, down through the centuries of time since Christ was born, even there in Bethlehem, God revealed his son to people, Jack. And even though God revealed Christ to people, they said no. Bruce, the majority of people that's going to celebrate 4 or 5 days from now, 4 days from now, the majority of people that celebrate around the world don't even know the Christ that came. Isn't that sad? They have the season. They have the what the world tells them, but they don't have the essence of Christ, of the real truth of Christmas. And I told those men, I said, unless you embrace Christ as your personal Savior, you've never had Christmas. And if you die without him, you'll never know what Christmas really was. If you're here today and you've never embraced Christ, can I say this to you? I'm not talking about me. And I told those men, I'm not talking about church membership. You can be the church, have to be a church and still go to hell. I'm not talking about baptism. I'm not talking about being a good guy or a good girl. I'm talking about God loved us so much. He sent a son born of a virgin in Bethlehem. He was born for me. Look up here. Here's what I told those men.
Christ was born for you personally. He was born for you personally. Personally for you. Do you know? Andrew would have been the only man alive.
Amen.
Christ would still have been born.
Yeah. Right.
Because he was born to die to redeem our souls.
Right. Amen.
McDaniel, we kind of chuckled. We both got a little temper in us sometimes. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for a guy to have a little bit. And to be honest with you, they all have a little bit of stuff in their mouth, Steve. Always there.
Yep.
The gift will set him free.
Amen.
the gift of Christ.
Yeah.
He's there. The Bible says, but as many received him, John 1:12, but as many received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. He never believed on his name.
Yeah.
More than not enough to know that it's there. You must embrace him.
Amen.
Receive him into your heart.
Yep.
And we got that across to him. And I think he did, because I really think maybe 40. Tommy, I think there might have been almost a whole crowd there that day trusting Christ as their Savior.
Amen.
If you're here today and you've never, if you're here today, you need to seek him. He's came for you. You need to search, and you Christians, you need to start searching him, search the scriptures to find out more about him. Well, I don't really know a lot about my Savior because you don't search. Hello? Well, I'd like to read my Bible. I ain't got time. You'd be surprised how much time you got if you just turned the stupid TV off. And then after they saw him, they embraced him. Now, let me give you these real quickly. Jesus is the reason for the season. Listen, if you miss seeing the Christ of Christmas, you haven't celebrated Christmas yet. Because Christ is Christmas. And Christmas is Christ. Here's the questions I want to provoke your thought with. Have you seen Jesus as he really is? Eddie, the moment those wise men saw Jesus, they saw immediately who he was. Savior, King of Kings. Are you still with me?
Amen.
Do you, when you read about Jesus, do you think, see, have you seen Jesus as he really is? Virgin born, Son of God, Savior of the world, your Savior, sent from God Almighty, sent for you. Is that how you see Christ?
Yeah.
That's the way you should see him. If you don't, you haven't seen him yet.
Right.
Question, what do you see when you see Jesus? What do you see? I see a loving Savior that came down to redeem me. And a Savior that's in heaven, reigning at the right hand of the Father, righteous and real, and going to rule someday real soon, return.
Yes.
What will you do with Jesus when you see him? What do you do with Jesus when you see him? Wise men, when they see Jesus as their Savior. They worship Jesus as their Savior. What have you done with Jesus? Have you made him your Savior? And by the way, I thought about this. In Acts 26, verse 28, the Apostle Paul was preaching to King Agrippa. And Paul said, come on, King. I want you to get saved. And King Agrippa said this, almost persuadeth me. Almost persuades me to become a Christian. You know, there might be people in this church today that I almost persuade them. You know, Deborah, I've never read in the Bible at all. King Agrippa, I don't believe he went to heaven. Because it never said, like Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. But later on, we find out Nicodemus was a believer. The one that Jesus said, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. But Brother Mark, King Agrippa, I never saw, never another scripture about King Agrippa trusting Christ. I believe he had an opportunity to trust Christ. God revealed himself. He saw him, but he didn't receive him. He didn't embrace him when he had a chance. If you're here today and I don't care about religion. Forget about religion. I'm not worried about you being baptized. I'm not worried about you being a member of Bethel Baptist Church. You can be a member anywhere you want to be. What my purpose here for is to get you to the Savior.
Amen.
So you can be a wise man.
Because
wise men, they seek after Christ, number one. Wise men, after they see Jesus, they embrace him. And then number three. By the way, they embrace Jesus. Wise men seek Jesus until they find him. Wise men receive Jesus as their personal Savior when they see him. And wise men, number three, wise men sacrifice for Jesus. They seek him, they see him and embrace him, and they sacrifice. When you see verse 11, After they embraced him, what did the look at verse 11. When they come in the house, they saw the young child, and what did they do? They fell down. They embraced him as their Savior. How many are with me? Now, they might have had faith before that, but what I'm saying is they acknowledged that he was Christ. And they, what did they do? They worshiped him. Are you with me? And then what did they do? They presented him what? They opened up their treasures. They presented him gifts. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. All things that were special and expensive and precious. Are you with me? They fell down and worshiped him, opened up their treasures, and presented unto Jesus gifts. Awesome. I wonder how many people got mad at me because I said bring a gift to Jesus. Doesn't that preacher, man, that preacher's God's given the missions. He's given, you know, blah, 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 blah. Listen, it ain't got nothing to do with it. It's about where your heart is.
Yes, right.
I'm glad he gave all for me.
Amen.
And by the way, I don't ever ask you to do anything I didn't do myself. Wise men, how much would you be willing? Let me ask you. They sacrificed a lot. They came from a far distance. They worshiped. They bowed down. They brought their treasures and gifts. How much would you be willing to sacrifice and give to Jesus? How much would you sacrifice of yourself? Don't even worry about the money. Hello? And by the way, it's not how much you put in. One lady gave the widow's mite, and Jesus said she gave more than any of them.
Yep.
It's proportionally how much you give of what God's given you.
Amen.
How much would you be willing to sacrifice of yourself? How much would you be willing to give of your time? And now you're meddling, preacher. I'm too busy to give any. Well, then that isn't too much sacrifice, then, is it? We need to start thinking about sacrifice, how much time. A lot of you folks come in here a lot during the week, and during you give your time. You say, well, I can't give a lot of money, but I can give. Hey, that's what God's looking for, that.
Amen.
How much of your time and your talents will you give to Christ? How much of your treasures are you willing to part with for Christ? I was talking to one of the deacons the other day, and you know, we're starting to see a crunch in the country. And usually when there's a crunch, the first thing Christians do is they cut God out.
Right.
They cut their tithe, and they do this and they do that. That's the worst thing you can do. Let God be true. Every man a liar. Put God first.
Amen.
I got a couple guys here now, just young converts. These two guys up here, they get their paychecks. Mike and Kenny, they get their checks, and man, they're running over to the preacher's house. They don't have to do that with me. You don't have to do that, but I'm proud. They're young converts. Man, the moment they get their checks, they're running over. Here, preacher. We put them in. Matter of fact, I put them. You know what, Kenny? They're right here. I'm glad I preached on this. There's your mic right there. So, I got mine in. Now I'm getting you guys' in. I had mine right here. Amen. Yeah. But there's some young guys in Christ, but they got it, Mike. They got it. The moment they get their check, they give God 10%. Amen. And that's the guy. But see, the first thing we as Christians, the older Christians say, well, I don't know. Maybe I'll do it next week. Somebody say, well, I'll pay it back 2 weeks from now. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Cheating God after all God did for us. Well, we're sorry. And if you really want me to get into Malachi, when you cheat God, then he says you're supposed to pay 1/5 more back. In other words, 20% more on top of it. Ooh, ooh, I'm coming, Martha. All that we have is his. The air that I breathe, he's just lending to me. And I owe it all to God. I don't know what's going to come up this year. I was talking to Brother Coolidge, and I'm not going to worry about it. No matter what happens, God's in control. Like I've told this, and this is going to be my slogan. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds my future. And that's all that matters. We might not be all driving our nice cars like we used to. Matter of fact, as soon as 2008 comes in, we've got two or three lease cars over there. I'm turning them back in. The leases are up, and hey, I'm going to cut back to one car. Hello? We don't have to, hello? You know what? We just need to start living like we're supposed to be. I was talking to Coolidge. We need to start living like we're supposed to be living anyways. Well, I can't give the gods work. You can't give because you got it going out in a thousand different places where it's not supposed to be going.
Right.
Boy, that's good preaching. That's I got that in with the wise men too, amen? I've lost my place, Mark, but I'm glad I got it in. How much time would you give? How much sacrifice? See, look at Matthew chapter 6 while you're there. Hey, it's only 11:45. I'm closing out. Matthew 6:12. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth. Boy, some millionaires got hoodwinked by another guy. These guys that had multi-million. I mean, not just. I'm not the only sucker out there. They're even got the boys with the big bucks. Hello? Did you see billions of dollars? I mean, I think it's horrible. People are losing their money from stock markets and IRAs and all kinds, not IRAs, but 401ks, that's what I wanted. And then these guys hoodwinking them. And these are people that are supposed to be smart, that's got millions of dollars. And people, and then they gave it to a lot of agencies that give out things, and they trusted them. And they've lost billions of dollars. The man's going to go to jail, but hey, what's the good going to do? Those people lost all their fortunes. Can I tell you something? Our fortune isn't here.
Amen.
Our fortune's up there.
Amen.
Laying up yourself, I'm in Matthew 6:19. Laying up yourself treasures upon earth where moth and rust is corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust is corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be. Boy, I tell you, those wise men, I can tell you where their heart was. Their heart was for Christ. Amen? Let me ask you something. Where's your heart today? Where's your heart? And let me just turn to the book of Hebrews. And I'm done. Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9. Wise men seek after Christ. It doesn't matter why you're going to Hebrews. Let me read this scripture first on the way back. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says this: For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. How do you mean? He came from the splendor of heaven. People were praising him. He went down the sin-cursed world where people cursed him and crucified him.
Amen.
That though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Man, here's a guy that was going to die and go to hell forever. Now here's a guy that's got all his sins forgiven on my way to heaven.
Amen.
Look at the two scriptures in Hebrews. Now quit. Book of Hebrews. Nobody knows who wrote the book of Hebrews. I believe the Apostle Paul did. If you don't believe that, that's all right. He'll tell you when we get to heaven. In Matthew chapter 9, or Hebrews chapter 9, and verse 26. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. Talking about Christ. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself.
Amen.
And it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, why? Because this, Jesus put away sin by the sacrifice. He sacrificed himself. Look up here. Then look at verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look to him shall he appear unto the second time without sin unto salvation. He's done all that for us, and we, why? Because we got to do a little thing for him. He don't ask us to die for him. He died for us. He just asked us to live for him.
Amen.
Look at chapter 10 of Hebrews. Look at verse 10. By which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, by the offering of the body of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, once for all. How many see that? One time, that's all it took. And look at verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, that was his body, he gave him himself, forever sat down on the right hand of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's what Christ did for us. Are you still with me?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you right now. The Bible teaches us that we need to... Look at chapter 9, verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Brother Mark, what that's saying is this. Jesus gave it all. Jesus gave it all.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
He says, I would to God you can realize what he did for you, so you start living a life for him. Look at that verse 14, the latter part. That you would purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. He said, what's it going to take for you to serve Christ? Number one, wise men seek after Jesus. No matter how far they have to go, no matter how long it takes. Number two, wise men, they desire to see Jesus. And once they see him, they embrace him as Savior.
Amen.
And number three, wise men, they sacrifice. They sacrifice for their Savior. They give gifts. They give themselves. They give all their talents. They give their time. Wise men, those are wise men that do those things. Let me ask you one last question. We're going to pray. Are you a wise man? First of all, are you wise that you seek after him? If you don't seek after him, you're not wise. Are you a wise man the way you see Jesus? Do you see him as a Savior? As your Savior? If you haven't embraced him as your Savior after you've seen him, then you're not a wise man. Matter of fact, you're a doomed man on your way to hell. And Christmas hasn't come to your house yet. And thirdly, do you sacrifice like the wise men did? Are you willing to give of your time? Are you willing to give of your talent? Are you willing to give of your treasures like the wise men did? See, wise men will do that. What kind of wise men are you? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for loving us and for sending us the Savior, born of a virgin in Bethlehem's manger. Lord, sent to die so we could, sent to die in the sacrifice to save sinners, which I'm chief of sinners. Lord, I'm thankful for a Savior that loved me. And I pray there won't be no King Agrippa's here today. I pray there won't be someone that says, almost persuadeth me, Pastor. Preacher, I'll hear it another day. And I pray there'll be some Christians that would be stirred. They haven't been sacrificing. They haven't been serving. They haven't been seeking. And I pray you'll speak to them today as we celebrate the birth of the Savior, that they would be more mindful to walk in the footsteps of the wise men. I wonder, with our head bowed and our eyes closed, how many could say, "Preacher, I have trusted Christ as my Savior. There was a day I saw myself a lost sinner, and I've trusted Him as my Savior." Could you raise that hand? I'm positive. I know I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I know if I died, I'd go to heaven. Thank you. You may put Him down. Be honest with yourself and honest with God today. How many would be honest with themselves and honest with God and say, "Preacher, I've never asked Christ to save me. I've never really saw Him. I've never saw Him in the light of like the wise men did. I've not been too wise. I've had the historical Christmas and I've had the commercial Christmas, but I've never had the real Christmas of Christ. And today I'd like to make Jesus my Savior. Would you pray for me?" Just raise a hand. Yes, I see a hand. Who else? Pray for me. Yes, ma'am, I see that. Pray for me. Pray for me. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't want to die and go to hell. Hell's real. Heaven's real. That's why Christ came. Why don't you embrace that gift that God sent down from heaven? He sent Jesus down so you could have eternal life. He sent Jesus down from heaven in Bethlehem to redeem your soul that's going to hell. Who'd say, "Pastor, pray for me. I don't want to die and go to hell, and I'm not sure I'm saved." Pray, anyone like that, just raise your hand. Pray for me. And then before I pray, how many Christians would be honest? Be honest and say, "Pastor, lately I've had a bad attitude maybe, or I've been discouraged, but I've not been serving Christ. I've really not been sacrificing for Christ. Would you pray for me that I would be a wise man?" Yes, 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 yes. All over the building. God bless you. Yes, yes. Wise men. Wise men still seek Him. Wise men still see Him. Wise men still embrace Him. Wise men still sacrifice to Him. Serve Him. Surrender to Him. Heavenly Father, You saw every hand and You saw every heart. And I pray, dear God, today that You'd get honor and glory from the message. And I pray, Holy Spirit of God, if there be lost people here today, Holy Spirit, bring them forward right now. I pray they'd get up right while I'm praying. Holy Spirit, move them while I'm even praying. Bring them to come right now. Even before we sing, help them to come. And I pray Christians would come. Draw nigh to You. It's been a while since they draw nigh to You. It's been a while since they searched the Scriptures. It's been a while since they be still and know God. I pray today we'd rejoice in the Christmas story and learn something about these wise men, and that we would be wise men in 2008. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse. If you want